Shattering. This is Magic the Chattering, a Night of the Living Geeks production. I'm one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again is my partner in crime, Brandon.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am itching real hard to draft as much Origins as possible because I love this set.
It's this set is probably the second coming of Magic, and I am ultra excited.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good cards. We both did a draft.
Yep.
And we have those lists. We have those cards.
All right. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I started out, I drafted a red-white deck. I first picked a Knight of the White Orchid because I've heard...
The card might be good.
No, I've heard that white is one of the deepest colors, or that is the strongest color in Magic Origins. So I was just like, sure, I'll commit real hard on the first pick with a Knight of the White Orchid.
It might be double white, but, you know, who cares?
Yeah, and then I proceeded to get, like, one white card out of the first pack, and I picked up a bunch of red... I got a third picked Gearper Gearcrafter, which, by the way, Gearper Gearcrafter is an amazing card.
You know, all of those cards in that kind of little section is just, they're so good.
Yeah, just getting free 1/1s in that fly. It's just,
I mean, Thopter's Dot deck is a real draft deck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I ended up in a kind of white-reddish aggro deck. I got a Fiery Impulse, which is great. And that's, you know, that I brought up the Spell Mastery thing, because just a shock is perfectly fine, even though it doesn't hit players. Like, you're not often hitting players anyway.
Yeah.
But a shock that turns into a Lightning Bolt occasionally is super good.
Yeah, Spell Mastery is nuts. There are a lot of people going after it.
Yeah.
And that extra effect, as much as it doesn't seem like it's really that big of a deal, actually does make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 point of damage. You've got Gideon's Phalanx that makes your creatures indestructible. And, you know, it's there's a lot of really good effects that come as, like, a free bonus.
Yeah. And also I had the Embermaw Hellion, which is 3 red-red for a 4/5 with Trample. And it adds 1 damage to red sources. And I was just like, oh, so I can turn my Fiery Impulse into a flame. What was that?
Which one?
Flame Slash.
Yes, yes.
On occasion.
Yeah, that card is... you got to go kind of deep with that card just because, you know, the double red, but...
Yeah, but it seemed perfectly serviceable.
No, it's a great 5-drop.
And you were talking to me about Renown being my new favorite keyword, and I think you're right.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the 2-drops I got was Tuban Freeblade, which is the 1 and a white with a 2/2 Vigilance with Renown. And I played it, and I was like, that's awesome. I love Grizzly Bears. And then I hit with it, and I was like, fuck, that's a 3/3.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this card is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's super good.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, considering the thing that would have killed me if it was that card's super good, and the thing that would have really killed me, because there's the 2/1 first striker that costs 2 white with Renown, but this one only costs 1 and a white.
Yeah.
So it's super playable in basically any white/X deck.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say that Grizzly Bears are bad now, because it's almost like the second, this is the Grizzly Bear set. There's so many 2/2s.
Yeah, definitely.
And as much as it seems like that isn't fun, they're impactful 2/2s. It's not vanilla 2/2s.
Yeah. And so I played against a couple of guys with Renown, and none of them really seemed super scary, but they do, it's nice that they just, you know, they're kind of dudes that get a bonus. And I think that's, like, really well suited for this kind of set.
The one thing I don't know if you noticed was if you have a creature without Renown and you're going in alpha, like you're swinging with everything,
mm-hmm.
they're more likely to block a Renown creature because of Renown.
Yeah, it makes your other dudes a little
It's almost like a weird, like...
Pseudo-evasion?
It's like pseudo-provoke.
Yeah, like they've got to block it.
If they don't block it, now they have a larger creature to deal with. And if they do block it, you've probably got a trick.
Yeah.
Or you're trading.
Yeah, so no, it's funny. I had Act of Treason in my sideboard. And I played against a guy with the 6-6 renowned dude. Oh,
Outland Colossus?
And I was like, oh, I could totally steal that and hit him with it. But then I was like, wait a minute. Because it wasn't renowned when I was going to steal it. And I was like, I don't get the renowned bonus.
Nope.
And then I give it to him back to him with the extra counters. And I'm like, that might be a bad play.
Yeah. Actually, somebody did that to me yesterday.
Oh, they took your dude?
They took my... they active treason, my Citadel Castellan.
Yeah, the green-white dude?
Yeah, so the 2-2 Vigilance, renowned 2. And I don't think they realized how renowned worked. Because they thought it was I had to hit with them.
Yeah.
No, it just doesn't care.
Nope.
So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take two. And then I got a 4-5, and I was like,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So Act of Treason, I think, is... It's a pretty... So it's like a 50-50.
It's still a good card.
I disagree.
I think it's still a good card. You just have to be very, very careful with what you pick.
Well, like, it depends, like, because on the sets it's in, it can either be... really good or just okay to really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this set it's going to be on the side of just okay to really bad. Like it'll steal a game sometimes, but a lot of those times you're going to be sitting there like with I want to take their creature and hit them with it, but it might give them renown. And I think that's going to be...
Well, then again, you and I were not... So I drafted paper and you drafted on MTGO.
Yeah.
So... what I saw was people who did play Act of Treason, they were picking creatures with menace and getting in the extra damage through menace, and that was the big game changer, because people are still getting used to menace. I mean, for us, we'd known about this,
yeah,
but there are some people who are like, oh my god, this is an ability. Yeah, I mean, it's been around forever, but it never had a name.
Yeah. So as usual, like, Act of Treason can just take games that you weren't winning and then, like, or seal up games that you were on the winning side. Or
yeah, absolutely. It does change the flow of the game.
Yeah, I just think it could be more often than not a liability in this set as a card that's going to be dead in your hand.
If you have the bad luck to play against a renowned deck, yes.
Yeah.
So, what was your list?
Okay, so... besides the one I mentioned, I got a Throwing Knife, which...
nice.
That card is just great.
Yeah.
I threw out my Gearper Gearcrafter. I got turn 2, Throwing Knife. Turn 3, Gearper Gearcrafter. Traded with his 2-drop when they attacked. Suited up my Thopter token and just started banging for 3 and, like, trading for all his dudes. And I just stomped him. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I saw 2 of them pass by me, and I'm not sure what happened.
Never pass Throwing Knife. I'm gonna stomp my foot down. 4 mana shock, if you have a creature to attack with, or just extra beef in the air, or whatever you've got to tagging. I think it's fantastic. Also got a Flame Shadow Conjuring.
Oh, it's the new sneak attack.
Yeah, that card's okay.
I think it's kind of more of a fun commander card, I believe, than it would be, because you really have to gear towards like that card.
I think it'd be incredible in the Thopters deck if that gets to be a thing. Like, yeah. If you draft, like, playing Gearper Gearcrafter off of a Flame Shadow Conjuring seems super great because you get an extra 1/1.
Yeah, and then you can always just throw the 2. You can always throw the 2 damage in, and it doesn't matter because it's a token.
Yeah. Also got a Lightning Javelin, which is great.
Yeah.
And a Heavy Infantry, which is really great with Flame Shadow Conjuring because tapping 2 dudes. I still lost that game, but I got to make a sick.
You get to live the dream.
Yeah, I got to live the dream of tapping 2 dudes. Yep. So that was it. That was just okay.
So you went,
1 and 2.
1 and 2, which is, you know, considering first MTGO, first MTGO Origins draft.
Yeah.
You know.
I wasn't expecting much.
Getting used to the set, figuring out what people are and are not drafting.
Yeah.
So I have handed you my stack of cards.
You got a surprise for me, and I'm pretty excited.
So the land base was one Evolving Wilds.
Love it.
It was 9/7 Forest Plains.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right,
go ahead and take a look.
We've got Citadel Castellan, which is what you were saying earlier.
That card is ridiculous. It's super good.
It looks really good, especially with the Renown 2. That's going
to... Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody was dangerous. So used to going, oh, okay, so it's a Renown 1. No, it's a Renown 2.
Yeah.
I get a 4-5.
That's a 4-5 for 3.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And with Vigilance.
Yeah.
Zendikar's Royal.
So...
How many... Be honest with me. How many creatures did you get out of Zendikar's Royal?
4-6 per game.
All right.
Let me tell you. So Zendikar's Royal is not a card I would say that you first pick. Zendikar's Royal is a card that if it comes by maybe pack 2, like early pack 3,
yeah,
it's worth picking up having one. Because there was a guy in another pod who actually drafted 3 of them, and he sacrificed 3 5-drop slots for those.
That seems super wrong.
I added 1 because I could not get another 5-drop.
Yeah. It seems like...
But it turns every draw step into a good draw because either you get a 2-2
mm-hmm.
or you draw a value card.
I guess that's not terrible, but...
It's not a card I would suggest you take first, though.
Yeah. I feel like you can have a lot of better 5-drops than that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Empyrean Technician. This one seemed okay. A hill giant that occasionally...
With the amount of creatures you're going to find that are in this deck, that card was an all-star.
Hmm. Okay. Farika's Disciple, Death Touch, Renown 1. Love it. 2-3. Tilpin Freeblade, which we just talked about. Nessus Pilgrimage.
It was it's ramp, and it pairs up with Zendikar's Royal fairly well.
Looks very good.
The only thing is it only gets forests.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks for only basic forests.
Oh, that's not great.
But... Considering the deck was mostly green,
yeah,
it did work out most of the time.
Suppression Bonds, very good.
Okay, so this guy goes all in, taps 10 mana.
Yeah.
5/5 Thopter back hanger.
Yeah.
Suppression Bonds. Let me tell you, I've never seen anybody lose.
Living the dream.
I've never seen anybody lose hope that fast.
And that's like your bread and butter right there.
Oh, man, it was delicious.
Taking people's hope. Anyway, Suppression Bonds. I passed one. It was super wrong.
Yeah, super wrong. You need to snatch that card up.
Yeah. I was like,
super fast.
I read it and I was like, 4-drop? I don't know.
It's because there's not much else that does that. There's really, like, there are cards in the set that are
although I think,
answers.
Yeah. I think I might have taken a Celestial Flare over it.
I don't know. I could see the bid for maybe grabbing that if you already had a Suppression
Bonds. In Reflection,
Bonds.
Trying to use Celestial Flare versus wanting to have had Suppression Bonds.
Oh, got it.
Like, they're attacking with 2 creatures, and you're just like, Celestial Flare, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Although I did have a great play. A guy attacked with it's not Arbor Colossus, but whatever the 6/6 round
Outland
dude was.
Colossus.
Outland Colossus. And another 2 power creature, and I was just like, Fiery Impulse, your 2-drop, Celestial Flare, fuck off.
So is that the end of combat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I used that trick, too, using Celestial Flare in the combat damage step.
Oh, yeah.
Or the end of combat step.
Yeah, somebody...
So, take 6, but I still get to kill your Outland Colossus.
Somebody didn't realize that the creature is still tagged as an attacker or a blocker.
Yeah.
And so one of the other players had said, okay, are you going to do anything... Okay, end of combat.
Yeah.
And double Celestial Flare. And it was like, oh, that's so painful to look at.
Oh, God. Who the fuck leaves 4 white? Who attacks into 4 white mana open?
A player who's been playing for 2 months.
God damn it. I would not.
Yeah.
If I saw that they had left 4 white untapped, I'd be like.
Well, the guy went. Oh,
I would think twice. I would think twice about it.
He goes, play a land. All right. Go ahead. Like, he had no plays, and it was just like, oh, this is not going to end well.
That is just brutal bluffing.
Yeah.
Elvish Visionary, champion. Timberpack Wolf, champion. War Oracle.
So, let me tell you about War Oracle. That card draws so much hate. It is by far one of my favorite cards.
I thought I had a game 1. And then I read War Oracle, and I was like, I do not.
So War Oracle,
I do not win this game.
Two white, two colorless, renown one, 3/3 with lifelink.
Yeah, lifelink. That's the killer. I was like, I can kill this dude unless he gains like three life.
Yeah.
Orchard Spirit, awesome. Patron of the Valiant. 3WW, 4/4 flying. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it.
So, let me tell you exactly how many people underestimated this card. Because
stupid people?
It got passed to me almost last. I had to give it
what?
Up. I had to give it up to get Suppression Bonds, and I went, oh, that sucks. Okay, it's not going to come back to me. It's fine. I'll resign to it. I got it third last pick. The third card. I got three cards at the end.
I don't believe you.
And somebody handed... It was like...
Who the fuck...
Nobody wanted this?
Who opens a 4/4 flyer and says, no, thank you?
It was... I was like, I don't even understand what the hell's going on. So the group that I'm playing with, I don't think they've been playing for very long. Because it seems like double color always scared them off. Like, there were so many, like, two green, two white, just two blue going around, and nobody was picking them up.
I guess that makes a little sense.
Yeah, no, there were tons of people just playing, like, oh, it's a one red. It's a one red. Hmm. It's a one blue. You know, it's like... But, so I had three creatures that were all renowned, and I was like, Patron of the Valiant? And he goes, oh, okay. Oh, no, they grow. They grow. You didn't know that.
Dude, I can't. Yeah. Yeah, white seems really good in orange.
White is solid. Solid color in this set.
All right, Somberwald Alpha. 3 and a green. 3/2. Whenever a creature you control becomes blocked, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And then 1 and a green, it gives something trample.
So, that card needs to be drafted, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Because that changes combat so fast. I had won so many confrontations because people were like, oh, okay, I'll block your 3/3 with my 3/3. No, you're blocking your 3/3 with my 4/4.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, people forgot about that card. And if that thing attacks and it's blocked, it's a 4/3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's combat value. There's a lot of combat value in that card.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
The trample is slightly irrelevant. The only time I saw it actually happen...
But that... totally matters,
like, once or twice,
is because that's exactly what you want, is to say, like, if something gets blocked, you just like, well, let's make it a little bigger and then give a trample if you've got extra mana. That seems incredible.
It wasn't as big of a game plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll notice, there were three of those wolves.
Yeah, you got a couple more of these timber pack wolves,
so they were consistently 3/3s every game.
That's really great. Undercity Troll seems just okay.
He's really solid. 2 for, you know, all the stuff he gets.
Yeah.
His regenerate cost is a little high.
But that's worth it if you want to keep it around.
There really aren't that many creatures in this set that have any sort of regenerate. By the way, so...
And another Freakish Disciple.
So, I would like you... because so, you're looking at the rares I got.
Okay.
So, pick one, pack one.
Mm-hmm. Gideon's Phalanx?
Nope. Bellower.
All right, let me pull that one out first then.
Okay, I got Woodland Bellower as my first pick. Pick one, pack one. And I went, okay, awesome. This is great. I'll just, you know, it's a bomb card.
Yeah.
Pick two, Gideon's Phalanx. I went a little hard. I went a little deep with this. But who passes that card?
It's 7 mana.
It produces 4 2/2s with Vigilance. You know people lose to that? Everybody lost to that card. Anybody
that.
I played, dude, I was at 4 life against the guy who had 2 Goblin Pile Drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do anything.
Huh. I mean, the card seems good, but it's just the 7 mana seems super scary.
It's really not that hard.
Yeah, I just think it's what remains to be seen if that's something we can get to on the rig.
I was able to consistently cast it every game.
All right.
Oh, and the last rare in there was...
The Honored Hierarch.
So, I got to live the dream twice.
Twice? You got to renown it?
Yep. I picked it up actually just because I needed a one drop.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, it'll just be a 1/1. And most of the time it just was. But the last game, it was a 2-2, produced mana. And now it says Vigilance.
That's awesome.
When it's renowned. But yeah, no, the card is it's fairly mediocre.
Yeah, I played against one guy who had it, and I kind of wanted to kill it, but...
It's pretty harmless, but if they go turn one Hierarch, you really need to stop it.
Yeah. Okay. But Origins, I think, is going to be a ton of fun to play.
I am very excited to continue drafting it.
For sure.
So...
You wanted to talk...
On the topic of Origins still.
Origins.
So... Star City Games, Chicago.
Yes.
There's a guy, you know, just came up. His opponent's facing, playing down Obzon Control. And this guy named Jack Fogle sits down, and people are going, he's playing what? And so there's a card in Origins called Pyromancer's Goggles. It's a 5-cost artifact. It's legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Taps, produces 1 red. And... If you tap, produce a red, and cast a red spell, instant or sorcery,
yeah,
you copy the spell, and you can change targets. So this guy is playing four of, in a Sultai, in not Sultai, what's the red, green, blue?
Temur.
Temur, yeah. So he's playing. If it's not Obzon, I don't care. So he's playing a 1-of Savage Knuckleblade. He's playing 4 goggles.
Big Nux.
He's playing 4 Tormenting Voice, 4 Magmatic Insight. So Tormenting Voice is 1 and a red.
Yeah.
Discard a card and draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
Magmatic Insight is discard a land card. It costs 1 red and you draw 2 cards. So if you produce the 1 red.
Yeah.
Discard a 1 card.
Mm-hmm.
You draw 4.
That ain't bad.
So he's going Anger of the Gods. Oh, it's 6 damage, by the way. he would hit people. And, like, his game plan was just nuke everything, counter as much stuff as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you died to Ugin.
Ugh.
So he went 2-1 against this deck. And this is actually game 1 of the event.
Yeah.
Like, so this is nobody had ever seen it before.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's such a frustrating and amazing deck to watch played.
So yeah, you're eating that shit up.
I'm like, oh god, oh, he's not doing anything. His key card costs 5,
yeah,
and it's legendary. He only gets 1 of these things, but it's insane. And a card to take note of, Clash of Wills.
I don't know that one.
So it's X and a blue.
Mm-hmm.
Counter target spell unless they pay X.
Oh yeah,
people are playing 4 ofs. It's ridiculous. It doesn't, it seems like it may not be as good as like a hard counter, but so many people are running into that card and just, oh man, I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, Condescend was very, very playable and very good, and still sees play a lot of play in Pauper at least. So just a scalable mana leak seems just okay, because that's that can be a 2-mana counter spell, a 2-mana hard counter.
People were playing it over Silumgar's Scorn,
which is objectively easier to cast than
and especially since if you want the most value out of Scorn, you need to have a dragon in your hand.
Yeah, so unless you're playing the Esper Dragons list or
even the Grixis Dragons list,
yeah,
it's really tough. Oh, so the new Mulligan rule,
right? So they made a change that's going to come, I think, the Pro Tour Origins.
Yeah, so
to the Mulligan rule, which seems like an incredible change, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, there were some people last night who were kind of like, "Oh, are we using the new Mulligan rule?" No, it's not in effect yet. And some people were like, "Oh, this new Mulligan rule is going to be terrible."
I think they're wrong.
And
but, like, so what it is when if you begin the game, like if you've decided you made all your Mulligan decisions, and you decide to start the game with fewer than 7 cards, you get to scry 1 at the beginning of the game before you take your first turn.
Yeah, and this is a lot of people are like, I don't understand, why are we doing this? This doesn't seem as good. It really balances out fairness kind of so there are so many games that I've watched, because I watch SCG Twitch feeds, I watch, you know, all the Pro Tour stuff. if you mulligan, that's a huge, huge disadvantage.
It's just minus X to your card advantage.
Yeah, and the scry one doesn't seem like it helps as much.
But it
does balance it out.
On average, I think I've heard people say that like scrying one is worth about half of a card. So if you mulligan once and you get to scry one, you're at like a 6.5 card hand.
Yeah.
And that seems like I would pick that every time.
Yeah, it's a great rule. I think a lot of people who are complaining about it didn't understand maybe why they would have done it, because they always play in a casual setting.
Yeah, and they play in a really mulligan simple to draft. Seven.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really interested to see how the pros react to what they see when they scry. So it's come down to a lot of like, okay, so I've got three lands, three spells. I scry one. It's a spell. Do I keep this? Ship it to the bottom, draw blind. Or yeah. I've got three lands. I'm totally keeping this spell.
Yeah, but even still, after seeing your opening five or six, you're going to know. I would always want to know what the top card is.
Absolutely.
Or at least have the option to ship a thing I don't want to the bottom, which is just, that's going to be an amazing, that's just a great change.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally down.
And, you know, it's, like I said, I'm really interested to see how the pros do, like, they do make their decisions off this Scry 1.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, when it happens, and I'd be very interested to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to play that way. Anytime.
All day.
All day. Give me a Scry.
So,
you wanted to talk about an experiment you guys recently did with Commander that you were playing.
Well, we did two different ones. So, our good friend Nate DeCarlis is moving away for about 2 years. So, Nate is getting his master's. He's going to Carnegie Mellon. And he's going all the way across the U.S. He's going to the East Coast. And as a nice send-off, because Nate is a huge Commander fan, we did something called Natapalooza. So the idea was that everybody brought Commander decks, and you wrote down the name of your deck, or the Commander.
Mm-hmm.
You folded it up on a piece of paper, put it into a hat, and we had 12 people, so we had three pods of four. So we had the traditional Commander rules. And everybody blind drew a Commander. And if it was your Commander, you had to throw it back and draw a new one.
And if it was Andy's, you had to play it. You couldn't complain. Well, you could complain about it, but you had to play. Oh, no,
complaining was required because of Andy. Which the craziest part was, I think round two of it.
There was like five of his decks in
there.
Oh,
my God. It was
the worst pod of Commander we've ever done.
Yeah, I would say that the game lost uncomfortable value. But no, it was a lot of fun.
Like a piece of everyone that had to play an Andy deck died.
Yeah, I think the biggest complaint was coming. So I'm sitting there. I'm in the pod next to you, and I could hear, Andy, have you ever heard of basic lands? Are there any lands that don't come into play tapped?
Well, okay, because that time, that was me complaining.
Yeah.
And I was playing his Horde of Notions deck. There are no untapped lands in that deck. So I'm just like a turn behind.
That's so painful.
Just so bad, because I could just keep playing tap lands. I'm like, this hurts. This hurts, Andy. This hurts. And then I played my five color deck afterward, and I'm like, Andy, hey, look at this, how I have untapped mana and I can cast spells, and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, Andy is traditionally known for building very wacky decks.
Actually, to be fair, when I was playing his Horde of Notions deck, I would like alternate, like, because depending on what I would draw, I would like, Andy, you're an asshole, this deck is stupid and I hate you. And then I drew the next card, I'm like, Andy, this deck is beautiful and you're amazing.
So Eric John, our good friend, the Eric John,
Epic Eric,
he played Ashling and apparently ran the table. And so now the joke is that it's all Ashling all the time.
99 mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And Ashling ain't one.
Yeah, so, I mean, Natapalooza
There's an incredible picture of him on Facebook when he realized what Ashling did, and he just started bursting out laughing, and he could not contain himself, and
he's had his head in his hands, and he's like, he can't continue play.
Yeah, because it's just so funny.
But Natapalooza was a successful event. I would suggest that if you have enough people and people have enough variants, the only issue I think we had was there were people like myself that I submitted like 5 decks.
Yeah.
I would probably next time put a cap, maybe 2 decks per person.
And none from Andy.
Andy is a resounding... he gets to put 2 decks minus 2.
He gets to put 2 of someone else's decks in.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, though.
Andy, I hope you're listening to this episode, and your decks are stupid.
Until Mitch plays them next time, and then he's going to praise you.
Take all the stupid cards out of Horde of Notions and make me happy.
But there's not going to be a deck left. Andy, oh, snap!
Andy, I'm in your ears right now.
So, another thing we also did was called the Commander Draft. So,
I was supposed to mention Nick Wester.
Nick Wester.
Okay, go on.
So the Commander Versus series from Star City Games, they do Commander videos. And yeah. Most of the time they come up with some pretty cool decks. I mean, they do a Versus series based off of theme. They do Versus off of some pretty much anything. The one that I saw that they did was called the Commander Draft. And the way it worked was you drafted blocks,
yeah,
and core sets. And so the way it worked was in a fantasy style draft, you... So like I was pick one.
Yeah.
We RNG'd this, by the way. It was totally randomly
generated. I'm sure that was a legitimate you get picked first.
You know what? I have witnesses. I don't need this kind of slander.
Sure.
So what happened
it's not slander. I never get those straight. Go on.
So anyway, so what happened was you had to pick 2 blocks, so you got a block which consists of 3 sets.
Yeah.
And you have to pick 2 different blocks and a core set. So you got 7 sets total. My first pick was Shards block.
Great choice.
So this started off as just more of an experiment. We had 8 people. It was myself, Eric Torres,
mm-hmm.
Wilson. We had Brandon Carter, David, Andy, the Eric John, and my brother Colin.
Nice.
And so, and I swear this was all randomly generated. Uh-huh. I did not edit this list whatsoever. So my first pick was Alara block.
Great choice.
Eric Torres went with Return to Ravnica. Wilson went with Innistrad. So Brandon Carter actually wasn't, he was, there was some miscommunication. He didn't understand the time that we were drafting.
Yeah.
And so RNGesus decided to bless this guy this day. He got Invasion block.
Okay.
So Invasion has really, really, really good legends. So he has a lot of good commanders to pull from.
Awesome.
David picked Odyssey block first, which is that was a solid
choice. So this you could pick any set?
Anything. But the requirement was 2 blocks and a core set.
Right.
Andy first picks Magic Origins, and I'm like, oh, why would you
that's the
do
Maverick
this?
Pick. So, I think if I was to list my top picks for blocks, it would be Shards and Origins.
Yeah, I mean, I went for Alara because of Border Posts, because of the Trilands. The Eric John went with Zendikar. Zen block was... I did not expect that to go first.
That doesn't seem like a good pick.
Honestly, though... It's working out. He's actually got some pretty good stuff brewing right now.
All right. Well, it just seems like it's more like Zendikar is such an aggressive set, and Commander's not always about being super aggressive.
But he does get access to a lot of good cards.
And fetch lands.
Yeah. And then Colin picked Time Spiral, which... this is why I like playing Magic with Colin. He is so random in the stuff he picks. It's so weird. So the second round was I picked Khan's block because mm-hmm. I wanted the other Trilands, and I
yes.
also
those are 2 really good picks.
Invasion was out, so I could not pick those dragons, so I picked other dragons.
Great choice.
Also Time Spiral was out, so I could not pick those dragons.
Gotta have
Eric Torres picked Magic 2011.
Good.
Yeah, that was a solid choice.
Get your Titans.
Wilson picked Theros. Brandon Carter got RNGesus M10. He got magic 2010. And I was
That's
like,
a good one, too.
How is this possible? No, no. He's gonna blank the third one. So, David picked Lorwyn.
Mm-hmm.
Andy picked original Ravnica block. So that was solid. That was a good pick.
Yeah.
Eric John picked Scar's block.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's got even more disgusting stuff to pick from.
Yeah.
Colin picked 10th edition.
10th edition.
10th edition.
Bold choice, Cotton.
So Colin goes straight up. He goes 10th edition. X, X, X. All he's sitting is 10th edition, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm talking, I'm like, dude, why did you pick that? Okay, so he gets Coat of Arms.
Yeah.
The Beacons.
Yeah.
Platinum Angel. Wrath of God. The Muses. Arcanus. Evacuation. And Grave Pact.
That's amazing.
And so I'm sitting there going, oh my God, how did I not remember that?
Yeah.
So Colin's
the
like...
The old core sets.
Colin's like totally schooled us on the core sets. And I'm like, oh, I feel so stupid right now because I knew 10th edition came out with some good cards. I knew it.
Yeah, you're fucked up now.
Yeah. So, third round, last round, I picked M12 because M10 and 11 were taken.
Yeah.
Eric Torres took Shadowmoor.
Shadowmoor.
Yeah.
The filter lands.
Yup. So, the way that we weren't sure how to do this, and we decided to go with Lorwyn was on its own, and Shadowmoor was on its own.
Yes. You mean Lorwyn, Morningtide, yeah. Shadowmoor, Aventine.
So even though, yes, you're only getting one block, you're only getting one set less.
Yeah.
Those blocks are insanely powerful.
Yeah, for
They're
sure.
They're really solid. So Wilson went with Magic 2015. So... Mm-hmm. Apparently, the only reason was he did not know what was in any other core set, and he needed to buy a Sliver Hive Lord.
Of course.
This gave him a reason to do it. And so, okay.
Wilson and his slivers.
So, Brandon Carter. Cannot RNGesus three times in a row.
Sure.
Nope, he got Onslaught block. He got Invasion, M10, Onslaught. And I'm like, what is going on here? Okay.
Well, that seems pretty nuts.
David went with Magic 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, we gave him 90 seconds. Everybody had 90 seconds to pick.
Yeah.
Andy goes, what should I pick?
Because he needs
Should I pick Tempest? No, I shouldn't pick Tempest. Should I pick Urza's? No.
I can't believe this decision Andy, took him longer than 10 seconds.
30 seconds. Oh, what do I pick? What do I pick? Andy, 15 seconds. Ice Age! It came down to it. It was like, okay, well, Andy making Andy choices.
So now, does Ice Age include Cold Snap? Because he'll be
it does.
Oh,
yeah, it does.
Because he would be heartbroken if it didn't include Ice Age.
We had to do it because I believe Ice Age originally included Homelands.
Yeah,
and we decided to cut Homelands. We cut Fallen Empires, Arabian, Alpha Beta Unlimited, The Dark Legends, Chronicles. All of those sets were out just because they were so. They're almost considered standalones. Like, yeah. they were kind of released, but not really with any thought.
Yeah, this is, before they did all the thinking about block structure.
Yeah, yeah. Eric John picked Magic 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin goes, hey, what sets are left? There's really not much.
Yeah.
Tempest. Colin picked Tempest. So we're like, okay. So Colin has Time Spiral, 10th Edition, and Tempest. So Colin is a monster.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was
a monster of your own creation.
Colin is his own breed of monster. He plays really innovative decks.
Yeah.
And he comes up with some really clever ideas. And I like playing good stuff decks. The joke is that I don't know how to make theme decks because my theme is good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about whatever Colin's playing.
It's going to be pretty majestic, I hope.
Yeah, one of the joke decks, and I'm not even sure if this is a joke, is Squee and 99 lands. Oh, 98 lands and a Squeeze toy.
Okay. What?
So, apparently, this is one deck that he's apparently making. I'm concerned. I have a feeling it's probably not going to be a deck.
So explain the idea, though.
It's just nothing. It's 98 Mountain Squeeze Toy and Squee.
What does Squeeze do? Squeeze Toy do? Because I don't know it off the top.
It's pay one. It's an artifact. Pay one, tap it, prevent one damage.
Okay. And then Squee, doesn't Squee like return dudes from the graveyard?
So, no. He's a two. He's two and a red.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in the graveyard, you can return him to your hand during your upkeep, and he's a 1/1. That's it.
Okay. So it's not.
I don't think it's okay. A deck, but
it's not like Ashling.
No. So the draft went really well. It's super fun. It was a super fun experiment, and we're going to be playing in a few weeks.
So now that you've drafted all these sets, what's the deck construction rule? Besides the fact that you can only use cards from those blocks.
That's it. So you have to stay within the sets and blocks that you chose.
Right.
Your commander has to be from those sets and blocks you chose.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's free build. The thing about it is,
I guess my question is, like, so is it just like free form? Is there going to be like a tournament?
We're gonna follow. We're gonna do two pods of four.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna do the traditional commander rules. You have to follow all stated commander rules as of now.
Right.
So anybody who got sets with Titans cannot use Prime Time. This is more of, we treated this more of a deck building challenge than anything else.
Okay.
I've already come up with four lists, and I've whittled it down to two because I've got nothing else better to do other than make decks. I've made Narset, mm-hmm. Enlightened Master, Anafenza the Foremost, Mael the Anima, and Sharam the Hegemon.
Nice.
So the one thing I was a little, like, the reason why I was so like, oh my god, you've got to be joking, was Open the Vault is an M10.
Yeah.
Sharam doesn't work well without Open the Vaults to abuse. Because Sharam only pulls one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really hoping for some sort of disgusting Open the Vaults.
Well, you should have planned better.
Well, I also didn't want to take Urza's because I'm not spending that much money. But I've decided to go with Narset and Mael. So Narset literally has no creatures except for Narset. She can, every time she attacks, she can always cast whatever flips.
Right. So that's a good choice.
Yeah, and then Mael has nothing but five power creatures.
You're speaking my language. I'm going to steal that deck from you because I love Naya.
Everything in the deck that's not a creature gives creatures with power 5 or greater, or anything, more +1/+1 counters.
Delightful.
And, it's like the non-creature cards are like Berserker's Onslaught to give them double strike, you know.
Win more.
Yeah, you know, Glory of Warfare. It's just... It's fun stuff right there. Mighty Emergence, Where Ancients Tread. Arc Bond actually was a card I was really excited about. It's a Fates card. It's two and a red. Instant. Choose target creature. Whenever that creature is dealt damage this turn, it deals that much damage to each other creature and each player.
Nice.
So I'm hoping to punch something really hard. Really, really hard.
I hope you do too, buddy.
It's going to blow everything up. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a ridiculous experiment, and I'm really excited about what's going on so far. We're going to do this in a few weeks. Colin isn't in town yet, and David is going to be out of town starting today.
Right.
So.
Where's he going?
He is going to the UK.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Ted Mustard.
I'm at Epros1285.
You can find the show at Chattering Magic. You can also find us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/thechattering. Check out this and other great shows at www.notlg.com. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod. And that's all. Thanks for listening.
Night of the Living Poop.